Hi everyone, it's Roger and Matt here from the Discingdom podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking all about three different topics this week. We're going to be talking about mobile games, we'll be talking about sweet treats, we'll be talking about Magic Kingdoms. We're also going to be talking about movies and kind of Blu-rays and sort of DVDs and what's been going on there. And also, I was just kind of doing a quick brief discussion about the new Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, which is out now on the Switch. But before we do any of that, make sure you do hit that subscribe button to keep up with the latest news on the YouTube channel. You can also subscribe on the audio platform, so feel free to leave us a five-star review. We'll be quite happy with them. All right, so let's move on to our first topic of the day, which has to be probably Marvel Strike Force. Not Marvel Strike Force, that's a different name entirely.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
Yes. Right. So let us jump into Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order for the Nintendo Switch. Came out literally as of time of recording yesterday. I will be honest, I've done about an hour or so of the game, not very far into it. It was just one of those things of timing. It's just of when we record.
I watched all the cutscenes. That's about it.
Yeah. Have you got a Nintendo Switch?
No. I'm in the philosophy of if something still works, you keep it until it breaks. So my Wii U's still working, so I'm not getting a Switch until that goes bye-bye.
Yeah, see, I go with the idea of it's shiny and new and I want it. So this one came out last week. Last Friday.
Yesterday.
Literally yesterday. I got it through in the mail yesterday afternoon. I was heading out to the cinema to see Lion King, so I only really had like an hour or so playing it last night. So this is very much first impressions. First off, it feels like Ultimate Alliance. I have completed like Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 on the PlayStation 4. When they got re-released about a year or two ago, they got re-released. So I played through them then. So it's still fresh in my mind. It's not like it's an old game that I've, like, from 10 years ago. This is like a game I played, like, 2 years ago. It looks, in some ways, better. It's got a whole different art style. It's much more cartoony.
Yeah, I've been hearing complaints about it because there's, like, how come it's not super realistic like the other ones? Like, have you seen the other ones? How poorly they aged?
Yes, yeah, I actually think this kind of reminds me a little bit of the Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy game, where of how they look much more like the comic kind of slash.
Yeah, it's like cartoony cel shaded kind of.
Yeah, and I think it works perfectly on the Nintendo Switch. It is a lighter hardware. It does feel like a game from years ago. There is some issues with it in terms of what I was finding.
Yeah, I heard people complaining about how the graphics look like a PS2 or a mobile game. It's like, I think it's people that are jealous that it's on Nintendo, not on the other consoles, because Nintendo published it, that's why.
To be honest, it is. I do think it looks actually pretty good because of it being a Nintendo Switch game. It's got a different art style. It works. And the Nintendo Switch isn't as powerful. So I'm glad that they've got something completely original for them. It's built for that machine. It seems to be running quite well. There's obviously going to be some jitters at some point, but it seems to work well. Getting used to the controls a bit, I'm still like, oh, because I had to literally have to dust off my Switch because I haven't played it for a while.
Yeah, I heard that a lot from some Marvel fans that only play on Xbox or only play on PS4. They were getting confused with the X and Y button, A and B are like reversed on the Switch.
Yeah, you've kind of got to press X and Y at the top of the thing rather than at the bottom where you'd think it would be. Because I play Xbox and PlayStation, so just jumping. I'm kind of used to jumping around, but I think having a game that you kind of like, and so that took a little bit. I'm sure as I get used to it, I'm kind of enjoying it so far. Like I said, I'm in very, very early stages. Once I complete the game, I will then do my proper review. Obviously, I mean, I just pre-ordered it. It arrived the day of it. So I've paid for it the same as everybody else. I want to complete it. I kind of went a little bit dark on this one. I haven't read any reviews. I haven't watched any clips. I kind of was a bit along the lines of, I know nothing about this game. I know it's Marvel. I know it's on my Switch. I want to play it. And that was it. I kind of went a bit dark. I know they've announced a load of DLC for it.
They just announced a new details about the DLC yesterday, actually.
Yeah, so Loki. Yeah,
Loki is free as of today. Cyclops and Colossus from X-Men are going to be free DLC in August. And in September, that's going to be the start of the expansion pack, which has, I think, 13 characters in it for $20. And the first four characters are Moon Knight, Blade, Morbius, and
It's kind of like, it's basically like the Defenders.
It's basically the M-rated Marvel characters, because Knight is basically the M-rated comics for Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with these expansion packs, apparently you have to buy the full season pass, and there's going to be three different packs. I'll be honest, I've not pre-ordered it.
I forgot. If you bought the pack before the game came out, it came with Deadpool from the start at level 20, and it comes with his chef costume.
Yeah, I was along the lines of, I'm going to wait and see how I get on with the game before spending any more money on it, because if you get to it and you're like, yeah, all these extra characters, I'm really not going to use it. I'm not going to jump back into the game.
Considering the price for other DLCs and similar games, at least it's just $20. And it is Nintendo. They could have easily did it super expensive.
Yeah, I think it's not a bad price at all. It'll be interesting how much of the value is. If it's just extra characters, it's pretty good. I mean, when I consider of what we used to have to spend for the Marvel Heroes Omega game, you'd spend $17-$20 on one character. So that it's still very good value for money. And also compared to mobile games, it's like this thing about it being compared to a mobile game. I was playing it last, and I'm like, going, this is not a mobile game. This is a much, you know, you've got control. It's like, no, it's not a mobile.
It's just people hating on it because it's Nintendo.
Yeah, it is an underpowered machine, but it's a fun game. I mean, what I played so far, I am really looking forward to kind of playing for it a lot more. And that's kind of it. It's kind of one of those things of, you obviously can jump around between the characters, and you can set different motions, and you use special moves. And, you know, we've got the different villains dropping in. And, yeah, it's just fun. And I think that seems to be the general gist, really. I think of this game is about just going in there, being a hero, jumping around the heroes, beating things up, moving along. It's not Spider-Man for the PlayStation 4.
It's not meant to be a AAA game. It's just meant to be something from like 10, 15 years ago. It's for the people that grew up with Ultimate Alliance, except it's done in Japanese. There's online, which thankfully it's better than Mario Maker 2. That has atrocious online.
Yeah, I keep meaning with Mario Maker 2, but I've been playing a couple of games on the Xbox Game Pass, and that's the thing. It's just like spending money. I knew I was going to be buying Ultimate Alliance this month. So it's like, yeah, that'll be my game allowance for the month. Yeah, and yeah, so far enjoying it. I think it's going to be fun. I can't wait to kind of go for it. Oh, like I said, I'm going to pretty much just play through the campaign. All the online stuff, the co-op stuff, not interested in me at all. It's just a campaign. Mm-hmm. I want to get in, play through, and just have a bit of fun with it.
Oh, yeah. And one big positive of the game is the voice acting. They pretty much got everyone from all of the cartoons. Like, they've got Captain America 4 and Iron Man from the Earth's Mightiest Hero cartoon from 2010. They've got the voice actors from the Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy games to do the Guardians of the Galaxy. They've got Spider-Man.
Could be why I had such a vibe of it feeling like
Telltale.
Like almost that subconscious thing of going, this feels very familiar.
Yeah, and Spider-Man, Miles, and Dr. Octopus are the actors from the PS4 game. Green Goblin is the one from Spectacular Spider-Man. So it's pretty much all of these iconic voices from the last 10 years of Marvel animation in one game.
Yeah, and I think that's the trouble, I think, that the Avengers game is having on the PlayStation.
There's only two of them in there, Laura Bailey and Travis Willingham. The others are just like your standard AAA video game voice actors.
I think the problem that everyone's having there is that people, the general public, generally are looking at it going, they want it to be the MCU character actors, and it's not.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Ultimate Alliance kind of slides into that thing of going, oh, it's nothing to do with the MCU, so therefore it doesn't matter. And I think they're getting away. And that's not a case of getting away, but they brought in an excellent cast. And like you said, if you're used to the cartoons and other video games, it's not that jarring at all. But
no.
Nevertheless, let us know in the comments below what you're thinking of it so far. And as I said, we'll go through this a little bit more in detail once I've kind of completed it. So now let's move on to our second topic, which is pretty much like movies in terms of generally of home entertainment. Because the lack of Blu-ray and DVD and 4K of a number of movies and TV series, especially, I think, I know this is something that you brought up, Matt, but what did you kind of, what is your general feeling at the minute of like with what's going on with the home video market?
Well, I just feel like compared to other animation studios like Warner Brothers and Nickelodeon, they barely do any home media releases for the Disney shows other than stuff from Marvel and, well, ABC, like Once Upon a Time and that kind of stuff. Like, you can't go and buy like DuckTales season one or like Star vs. the Force of Evil season one in stores, because most people either watch it on TV or they're forced to buy it off iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, I know myself when I've been looking at some of the different DVD and home video releases, quite often the Disney Channel stuff does get released, but it might be a single DVD
with like three episodes.
With three episodes, and you never hear anything of it ever again. I mean, it's even weird. Like the Descendants 3 is out on Blu-ray, or out on DVD, sorry, a few days after it airs on the Disney Channel. No Blu-ray. It's like,
it's weird. Like, why not? You want to see that in 1080p. You don't want to see that on a inferior home media format.
Yeah, it's very, it'll be interesting to see what the numbers are, because I'm wondering if the reason for this is just lack of sales. They weren't selling. They've stopped pulling it down. I do think kids aren't watching DVDs and Blu-rays the same. I think they're so used to have everything on demand through apps that they aren't using them. And that's the big issue, I think, going forward, of them using apps and streaming services to watch stuff. The idea of getting up, going and getting a DVD player, plugging it in, shoving it in and using the remote. I mean, I know my 2.5 or 3-year-old nephew can work his way around the streaming service mm-hmm. and find stuff to find to watch. You know, it's not, and I just feel like that generation has moved on. And so they're aimed at kids, but those kids have moved on to a new technology and they've left physical media behind. And yeah, it's like you say, the fact that they don't even release these things on home video, you know, we still see them being really, you know, they release all the big movies. But
well,
even
Aladdin is coming to 4K, the animated movie.
Yeah, see, I have got to that point now where I'm not rebuying everything on 4K. I was literally in a store the other day, and I rarely buy in store, but I thought, oh, I'm just going to pop in, because there's a big poster outside for Captain Marvel. So I went up to the look, $27.99. $27.99, Blu-ray $14.99. So it's £12 more to have the 4K version. That's like, that's a lot of difference.
Here it's like $5 and more.
Yeah, it's ridiculously priced. And then I was looking at all the other 4K discs were all two for £30. I asked the cashier, I said, is this one included? Because I would have picked something. I would have got it with something else. And no, it's like, but it's the only one not in the offer, because it was the number one. And I was like, this is never going to take off at this price. This is, I mean, I know it's a niche market, and I could have picked up the Blu-ray, but it was a bit like,
yeah,
I want to start buying things in 4K this year, because I got the Xbox One X that can play it, and it comes with the Blu-ray and all the rest of it. I don't buy that many discs anymore. I used to buy so many movies on home video. I mean, I had, even as a kid, I just forever had bookcases and bookcases of VHS. Yeah. Then I moved over to DVD. I mean, I was buying DVDs way, way back when they first come out, and they were £20 each when only one store sold them. And I used to ship them all in from America, because we would get them months before the UK does. So I've been buying DVDs for well over 20 years since they originally came out. But I found when I moved over to Blu-ray, I was like, I'm not continuing that. And I've been clearing them out because they're all in storage at the minute. And yeah, the only thing I buy now are Disney titles, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, that kind of thing. I don't buy anything else. I don't buy any other movies. I just buy those. And even that, I'd like, and I think Disney Plus is going to have a big impact on all of this. You know, like you say, Aladdin being on 4K. But if Aladdin's on 4K on Disney Plus, yes, it's slightly better on a physical medium, but for $25, it's, I might as well just, and I've already got it on Blu-ray, and I already brought it on DVD, and I brought it on VHS. Like, I'm not buying it again on a new format.
I only have two reasons why I would buy on home media. One is on Disney Movie Club. So I would get like a 4K release for like $12 2 months after release. So say I waited for Captain Marvel, I could buy it full price, or I could wait 2 to 3 months and I'll have it for $12 for the service. Or number two, I buy it if there's no option on iTunes. Because sometimes there's no options to get it on iTunes for whatever reason, that like certain classic releases or anything like that, that I'll get on home media if there is an option, because not everything is on iTunes, unfortunately.
I'll be honest, I haven't gone down the digital purchasing line for movies and TV. The big problem as well is, I don't know what it's like out in Canada, Disney or Movies Anywhere doesn't exist for us. And all your physical, when we buy a physical product, it doesn't include a digital version. So therefore, we don't have all of this stuff that the Americans are having, where you buy the physical and you get a digital version. I don't get that. There is no digital locker. There's no, you buy it on iTunes, watch it on Amazon. None of this exists for me. So therefore, I'm still stuck in the pre days. You know, I have got some digital copies, but of some movies from American discs that I have. And I think I had, it's like Captain Marvel. If I had brought that and I had a digital version, great. I would never just buy the digital version at the same price I could buy a physical version.
Yeah, it's $24 on iTunes. I just checked.
Yeah, I mean, why buy the digital version when you can get the digital, the physical, and the DVD and the Blu-ray all in one package for pretty much the same price?
I will say that is one thing that bothers me, is that the bundles are starting to remove the DVD from it these days.
I suspect it's primarily down to how much use they're getting. If people aren't using them, and I was in the store and the DVDs are now like $9.99. I mean, I know some of the stores are now no longer physically selling DVD players, and Blu-ray players are kind of following that line. And it just feels like this is a dying product. It is going down. Yeah, people are buying the big movies. And people, it's like all this stuff with streaming services of like, oh, if you want to watch Friends and The Office and what stream, it's like, well, buy the physical ones. But I brought Friends on VHS. I brought them on DVD. I wasn't going to rebuy them again. And I'll be honest, I don't really want to watch them again. I'd rather watch
something new. Yeah, I never really had a need to buy a Blu-ray player, because I always had like a PS3 or a PS4 where I can watch Blu-rays and 4K Blu-rays just in one convenient machine.
Yeah, I think as gamers, we've kind of have that advantage of having those devices. You know, I remember having a PlayStation 2, and that was my DVD player. And
that was actually how most people had their DVD players, because getting a PS2 was cheaper than getting a DVD player back then.
And I remember, I have the PS3 with the Blu-ray, and I even went and brought the HD DVD drive for my Xbox 360.
Oh boy.
And I even had a load of HD DVD discs. Luckily for them, they actually came with the DVD included on one side. So I was, at one point, I was buying on dual platforms for the Blu-ray and HD. That might be why, like I said, I started slowing down when they closed one off. But I was one of those early adopters of, HD DVD. And I just 4K it looks great, but the fact that you can get it on Amazon, you can get it. I mean, I don't subscribe to that thing of Netflix. I mean, even when I rent a movie, I still rent in standard definition because it's a couple of quid cheaper than HD. It's just, I can't, it's, I like the extra thing, but is it I don't necessarily feel the value in paying for it. And also the other big issue I found now is, I have Disney Life on my phone and on my tablet and on my Xbox.
Don't have that here.
And obviously when Disney Plus comes along, you'll all have this. So for me, if I want to watch the
live... I'm not even sure if it's coming to Canada. They've been vague about it.
They have said it's coming. North America will be getting it within the first quarter.
Just when they mentioned it in the presentation, they just said America. They never said North America except for the
slide,
the screen. That's it.
Yeah, the reason for that is primarily is because they are purely focused on getting the US launch. I'm hoping we find out some roll out outside of that a little bit closer to the US.
Yeah, market. I'm hoping it comes to Canada.
It will do. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They are planning on taking it global, and I think that's a big issue. I mean, literally, it is as simple as that.
DC Universe never came here.
I think the trouble is a lot of it is down to rights. I mean, I'm not kidding. I was watching an episode of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, while I was eating my dinner, and it's like that's it. Just, you know, I can watch the Lion King original version straight away, and this is what is killing DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah, you can buy physical, but it's convenient. I've got the entire Disney catalog in my hand whenever I want. That's you know, if I want to go find my Blu-ray right now, I've got to literally go in, drive down the street, go into a storeroom, climb over things, climb into it, get the disc out, find the right box, get it back. Yeah, I've already 3/4 of the way through the movie by the time I get the digital version. And that's just it. Unfortunately, I think the digital is just going to wipe out home media.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's what's happening.
It's just easy use. It's just the way it's going to be. But I'd love to know your thoughts on home media versus digital. I'd love to know your thoughts on all of that in the comments below. And finally, on to our last topic. And it's going to be a little bit of a hubby jubbly one, where we're going to be talking about some mobile games for Disney. Literally just before we recorded this, Matt told me that, Sweet Treats or Treat Sweet?
I think it's Dream Treats. I'll go check.
Oh, yes. That's the one where it's kind of like a Max Free.
The theme park snacks.
Yeah, see, that one there is kind of an odd one because they stopped updating it a year or so ago. They started removing some of the different ones. And Disney at the minute are going through clearing out all... They've been doing this for about the last year. They've been clearing out a lot of the old titles, making way for the newer titles coming in. There's a lot of Disney ones under the process. They even recently hired, I think it was John Drake, who is now the vice president in charge of... They've got basically... What they're doing at Marvel, they're going to be now bringing in and just having a licensing deal to get the best people to do. So that hopefully now means that we're going to start seeing some Disney games coming because of that. I heard this through because I listen to Kind of Funny Games Daily, where Andrew Renee is a host, and that's her husband going through that. But it definitely is very exciting to hear the fact that they are working on that same strategy. It just feels like they maybe should have done this about 4 years ago to kind of get us ready for some new games because
it's there's been a lot of closures lately because I also just found out that Where's My Mickey and Where's My Water is also shutting down this week, I believe.
Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me one little bit because these apps have been hanging around a while. If they are no longer bringing any money, blows them down, it declutters when you type in Disney into iTunes and Amazon or Android, declutters it, focuses on the primary ones. I just be honest, I got burnt out on mobile games. I just lost interest in another match free game. You know, that Toy Story one that launched a couple of weeks ago. It was just like, this is so lazy. You know, they went out to a third party company and just threw it out there, and I'm like, no, this is an old game. You can only keep doing this same thing over and over again, and all the other games as well. The ripping off, as we mentioned in the previous part of this podcast, you know, Ultimate Alliance 3, you know, £40, done. I don't have to spend any more money. Yes, I had to spend that £40, but I have got everything. There's extra stuff if you want it, but you don't need it. And yeah, I like I said before, it's...
Yeah, I'm predicting Crossy Road is next.
They haven't updated that one in a long time.
The last one was DuckTales.
Yeah, and that was 2-3 years ago. But it must still be bringing in money for them not
to... Yeah, because right now they have My Disney Experience, the Disney World app.
Yeah.
They have Disneyland, Play Disney Parks, the new app with all the stuff with Galaxy Edge.
Yeah.
Disney Junior, Shop Disney, Frozen Free Fall, Maleficent Free Fall.
Those two games are never going to die. Some people keep spending money on them.
Inside Out, Odd Bubbles.
Yep, I like that one. That one's good.
And Shanghai Disney, Doc McStuffin, Star Wars, and Castle of Illusions are the top options in the App Store right now, and a whole bunch of stickers.
Yeah, it's just one of those situations. I think they've got to clear it out. They've got to clear these old titles. And again, if they're not being used and enough, generating enough money to keep it all running. And more importantly, the big problem, maybe not necessarily if you've got an old device and you're playing it, there's no problem there. The problem is new iPhone, new Android comes out, you know, a new version of their operating system. The games have to be updated to be compatible. And they have to be tested, and it's costing Disney money. So if they're now looking at them, you know, this game is not bringing in enough money to cover that, this is where the issue comes in with these problems. And that's why they're closing them. It's not necessarily because the games just, you know, they don't make any more money on them. It's just how much more money is it worth them to keep upgrading?
And especially on their servers as well.
Especially those mobile games and stuff. But also, I know you wanted to speak a little bit about Disney Magic Kingdoms and all the Lion King event, which has ended up with a massive problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, on the second week of the Tower Challenge, they revealed the prices for the basically like the tier rewards. Like, usually it's you show there's the currency, like, say, the Shenzi here hats, and then there will be a building from a set and a character from the set. And the character was Timon, who was, I believe it was 12,500 Maleficent tokens.
Yeah.
And Pumbaa was 5,000. That was crazy. Nobody could have 12,000 tokens in a week unless they were one of those people that were sponsored by the game and got a whole bunch of gems and
potions.
Or just spend cash, but even spending cash, it would still take you an eternity.
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of, those tarot events were the last straw for me, was when I just quit. Like, rage quit. I was like, no, I've had enough of this. You're not getting any more money out of me. And that was the end of it. And it's a situation of going, if I was like that and I'd been playing since the start, I mean, I dread to imagine what it was like for new players coming in with so many characters they didn't have access
to. That's how I felt when I started the first one, because I started the game right after the Alice event, right in the beginning of the Snow White event. And the first Tower Challenge required Alice in Wonderland, Frozen, and I believe Aladdin, and I had none of those characters. And I was like,
well, I was finding as well of like, whenever I was doing those talent challenges, that they were quite often like, you needed this character and this character. And it's like, yeah, but those are premium. And I was never getting the villains at the end because I could just never get enough tokens. And it's, again, I'm just like, if I have to check in like this on a game
every 2 hours.
Yeah, it's like, that's, I have got more better things to do in my life than wasting. Yeah, I'll do it for a bit, and I did do it. But you get to a certain point of, like, the off bit when the events ended, I just went down to one thing a day. And, of course, the tower events were coming in on the side of that, extra to boost you up. And I honestly feel like, at the moment, this feels along the lines of, we are going to try and squeeze as much money as humanly possible out of this game before they shut it down. And I hate to say it, and I know, you know, the game might be not closing down for a while, but this is what we've seen on mobile games multiple times when the developers start getting greedy because they're either under pressure from Disney to hit targets, they're not hitting targets. That could be the other thing. If they're just not, if players are dropping off and they're not in hot targets, they need to make more money, so they're pushing harder.
Yeah, there's just no more downtime anymore. Because there's Tower Challenge, and then there's the month-long event where you have to buy even more premium characters to unlock the big character at the end. Like, basically, you have like, okay, let's start with Moana's mom, and then we have the dad, and then we have Maui, and then we have the pig, and then, oh, you want the chicken? You have to buy the chicken.
I never had the problem with buying a premium character, you know, when it was like $3.99,
I only buy it at those events, that's it. And then when they started doing that with the Tower Challenge, like, no, I'm not spending another $13 in the same month.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. I didn't mind necessarily buying them when they were like $3-4, about the price of a price of a coffee or just a disposable item. It was when they were creeping into the 10, 12, 15 pounds.
Yeah, I was like, Captain Hook was the first one that was like $13, I believe. Yeah,
it was like £14. And it's like, no, I can get 2 months Xbox Game Pass, or I can literally go buy a PlayStation game and have the full experience. It's like, this is not value for money now. This is, and it's like, and again, it was just getting a very aggressive with drops not hitting, and I think that's it. And I do feel like they've lost a lot of people, and this game is now trying to catch up that by becoming more aggressive. Ironically, probably if they went the opposite way and made everything super cheap, they might actually get more players in, but they don't want that. They want,
yeah,
you know, it's easier to sell.
Another problem is there's just not enough land.
No,
people have been complaining there's not enough land for all the rides that you get.
Yeah, I mean, for the game to be out, we're going into what, D23 2019 is a few weeks away. This game got revealed at the D23 event in 2015. So that means now that this game has been on our radar for nearly 4 years for a mobile game.
It came out April 2016.
Yeah, that means now that this game has been running quite a long time. So actually, that's quite long for a mobile game. Mm-hmm. But that's a long time since they've really got nowhere in terms of land. I mean, I don't think we've even really...
we've had like 4 land updates, I think, that are not part of the Merlin side mission.
Yeah, it's almost that kind of thing of like, all right, we're going to keep stretching this out because it's like you've got Epcot, Disney CA, you've got Animal Kingdom, you've got all these other areas which you could just keep expanding on and building on.
Yeah, I think the reason they said was because they still have inferior systems still running the game, and that's causing a big problem because those systems can't run the game quite as well. So I would say just shut down like the inferior versions, like what's the name of the service? iOS 4, 5, 6. Shut those down. Just
yeah, I mean,
7, 8, 9.
No, I mean, this comes back down to what the problem was with, you know, keep upgrading it. Essentially, now that this game is now being dragged down by machines that were probably owed in 2015, and now that it's being and you know, like I said, I don't know. It just, to me, it feels like this very much feels like the cash grab to end it. And you know, they are trying to grab as many events as possible, to grab as much money as possible before, because we don't know how long the license was for. You know, if they don't hit their targets, the game could end that way. The game could be making tons of money. But all I know is because I was a member of a couple of Facebook groups, I left because it was getting to the point of, not only was I quitting the game, but everyone was just like dogpiling on of the problems and problems and problems. And the odd person going, no, it's fine, it's all good. And like, I understand you want to be happy and, oh, I can do it. It's like, you can do, but you shouldn't be setting alarms every 2 hours for your life for a mobile game. Mm-hmm. That is a quarter of that, you know, that is bordering on obsessive. That's not realistic. And as much as
it's not healthy, it's not healthy. I've seen some people do it during the night.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing that for a mobile game, that's not healthy and it's not right, because you do all this, and in 2 years' time, this game could be gone. They've moved on, and you're sat there going, it's like, what, you're going to start up another game and start doing? It's like, I know this barrier to entry of kind of getting in, and people don't want to pay stuff, but, you know, mobile games now are hitting that point where this is old. You know, it's like even that in that new Harry Potter game that started a few weeks ago, this augmented, like, Pokemon Go rip-off. Pulled in a fraction of what Pokemon did. Now you could say, well, Pokemon's more, it's like, and I'm sitting there, Harry Potter, you know, there's adverts on buses and cars when I'm driving. You don't see that very often for mobile apps. And if that is not able to, if Harry Potter
I think it's just because Pokemon has been out for so long that people just don't want another ripoff.
Yeah, and I think that is the big thing of, I don't know, it just feels to me like the mobile
waited too long, because the Harry Potter movies are done. Right now it's Fantastic Beasts. And right now Warner Brothers is desperate to milk Harry Potter dry. Because we have the mobile game, we have the play, they have the free new ebooks coming out, and JK Rowling pretty much making up rules on Twitter, like the whole vanishing their leavings and making everyone suddenly gay and stuff like that. It's like, okay, I think they're really starting to get worried that people are going to start losing interest in Harry Potter.
Give it another 5-10 years, they'll reboot it. They'll just start again from the scratch and redo
it.
They'll just restart those entire movies from scratch in 5 to... I guarantee in 10 years' time, they will reboot Harry Potter.
They're currently rebooting Lord of the Rings right now. Warner Brothers is doing a show for Amazon.
Yeah, it just makes sense. They're going to do it. They're going to hold off as long as they can and just do it. And then they're going to just, you know, give the kids that were in the original ones, or just give them a role as one of the teachers. I don't know. It's I think as a whole, I think generally mobile games at this precise minute, they are, you know, yes, there's new ones, there's new flash in the pans, but they aren't. They're still bringing in tons of money, but the excitement level.
Dr. Mario just launched as well.
And
one has a lot of barricades where they want you to spend more money because they rarely give you power-ups.
You just get a Nintendo Switch and on your NS, or was it your NES arcade edition?
NES.
You get NES, NES, you get Dr. Mario from the 80s. Great. Never. Don't have to pay any microtransactions. £17 a year. You're sorted. But nevertheless, let us know in the comments below what you think is going on with all the mobile games, especially from Disney at the minute. Love to know your thoughts. Remember to go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. Like, follow, and subscribe. Matt, where can they find you?
They can find me on my personal YouTube channel where I do travel vlog. Just YouTube my name. That's it.
There we go. On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.